over the past couple of days, and I've been just enjoying just taking a few days and slowing down and just enjoying each other's company and just kind of gotten in that mode a little bit. And I was sitting there going, oh, it's just nice to sit down in church and relax and realized I'm supposed to start the service. So here we are. So I forgot about that. So we're going to look today about being thankful for the people around us and sometimes how that can be a struggle. And how to move through some of those things and what God's standard is in that. And so it can be a struggle because life is hard, and we're going to worship together, and hopefully God will plant some seeds in our lives and in our minds, and we'll be inspired by who He is. So why don't we stop and pray, and we have a chance to sing and worship together. Lord, thank You that You love us. Thank You that You called us to be in community, to be together, to labor together. Pray that You bless our lives and our hearts and minds as we enter this holiday season through Thanksgiving into Christmas, that we would be truly inspired by how You care for us. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
I think I'm on. Well, good morning again. So this topic, I'm excited about it, not just as a topic, but as a concept, because I think the world around us is in a dire need of a good example. As a matter of fact, it seems like, and I'm going to oversimplify what's happening in our culture to try to make sense of it, but it seems like there's very little tolerance of the other person. And I think social media has made this worse. You know, like if I would rant to Greg, and Greg, I really don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that, he would say, you're in a bad mood today. But online, I can go, I don't like this, return, I don't like that, and I think people are listening, you know, and no one really cares, you know. So, but there's not a lot of tolerance and thankfulness to be in community. And it seems like that's a great need, that the church can set a standard for that's different from the world around us. So if we're going to build a bridge to the world around us and show and display God's care and concern consistently, it's going to be different from what the world is doing. And the world has its own way, and it's about control and other methods, but they're not always caring, and I think we're seeing that. And so we're going to look at today at how and God's standard for being thankful for the people around us. And sometimes you get in phases of life where you're not thankful. I was thinking this morning about when I was growing up at home, my parents were reasonably strict about things compared to some of my friends. And I used to complain to my parents. I used to say, you know, all my friends, they get to stay out later than I do. And, you know, they were out partying or whatever. And my parents said, well, no, you can't do that. You got to be home at this time. And one day I called my father. We were having a fun time. I said, I want to stay out for another hour. He said, no, come home. He was smart about knowing what standards were good. And I liked at the time to drive very fast. And my father had this big, had an Oldsmobile. Oldsmobile used to be a car company that used to exist. It had a big 455 cubic inch V8. It was a very fast car. And I said, Dad, as soon as I get my license, I want to buy this car from you. He said, no, you cannot have this. Because he knew, he used to race cars when he was in high school. He knew that would be a bad idea for me. So I got a station wagon with, you know, the simulated wood grain finish on the side. That's what I got. That was much safer for me. It was to protect me. But I thought after a while, I can't wait to get out of this house and all these oppressive rules of my parents and live my own life. And I'll get away from this, all these restrictions and things I have and can and can't do. And I would tell my parents, I said, you know, my friends get a bigger allowance than I do. They get this, they get that, they can stay out late, they can do whatever they want. What about me? And it's funny, now if I could go back and spend another year with my parents, I would do it in a heartbeat. If I could spend another year at home and spend, I get to see him maybe 2-3 times a year if we're lucky and that's it. If I could spend more time with my parents now, I would go back and do it. But at the time, I was not thankful for how God protected me and provided for me through them. I had a warped perspective, and we need each other. So we're to see things clearly. So we're going to look at that today. So why don't we pray together and ask that God help us. God, thank you that your perspective is correct. Pray that we would learn from you. I pray that you help me communicate well and lay out what you have promised to us. I pray that we all have the heart of a learner and a follower today. Amen. So I've been thinking about this, and I may oversimplify. Life is incredibly complex. Relationships are incredibly complex. But to try to make sense of them, I have to simplify it or boil it down into a philosophy. And so this is maybe not too deep, but life is a great struggle. Life is actually very difficult. And a good life takes a long, consistent effort. Long, consistent effort to have a good life. Really, it requires that. You can have a life, but if you're not willing to put in a good effort into your life, things may not work out well. One of the reasons for that is because of original sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was one of the curses that now we have to struggle and by the sweat of our brow to make life work. And I think sometimes we blame other people just for the struggle of how difficult life can be. But sometimes in relationship, we have conflict with other people. We don't get along. They say something. They do something. Sometimes people aren't thoughtful of others. And then we extend that. I'm not saying you, but it happens all over. And this is the thinking that can happen. Sometimes it's even subconscious. My life is a great struggle or a greater struggle because of what they did or what they said or what they failed to do. My parents failed to let me go out and party with my other friends. My life was, and that's how I actually thought about it. My life, I'm being restricted and I can't wait to get out from that. But we can feel that in relationship. We can feel that my life is hard because of those things. We can take that another step. My life would be better if I didn't have to deal with them, with my relative, with my neighbor, with my sibling. So sometimes in relationship, we do get hurt, right? People aren't thoughtful or they don't meet our expectations, or sometimes they sin and they're hurtful. It happens. And we have a choice there. What do we do? What do we do? If we have a bridge in relationship, if we're working together, we have a lot of these in Chicago, the bridge goes up. So, well, I don't really want a relationship with you. I don't really want to do that because that's kind of offensive. There's a common analogy I do with people who I share with. And we had a salesman come here to the church, I think this past week. And he came in and he was talking about, I can't remember what he was selling, you know. And, it was flooring. We're looking at new flooring. And I said, hey, let's take an example. And I'm trying to share about how offensive sin is to God. I says, let's say this. Let's say you left your keys on the table for your car, and I took your keys and I took your car, and you didn't know where to find me, and I have your car. Now, let's say I have your business card, and I call you up, and I say, hey, let's have lunch. I'll pick you up in my car that was your car. What would you say? Would you go out to lunch with me?
No.
You would say, I pretty uncomfortable going out to lunch since you stole my car until we sort this out and I get my car back. The bridge is up. It's hard to have a relationship that's kind of offensive that you stole my stuff and you're ignoring it. It's a something in our relationship. So things happen in relationship that cause a division. And we need to address that and say, okay, well, for us to have a restored relationship, we need to address some of those things for us to be comfortable with each other. So what is the standard in that, in working, in restoration, in relationship? So, okay, I took your car. Here you go. I forgot I had your car. Will you forgive me? Here's your keys back. And we have a chance at a new relationship. And you can decide if I was unreasonable and I think I'm sincere, and we can be friends again, right, if I give you your car back. So here is God's standard for the church. And part of this is talked about in Ephesus. This is verse 1 in chapter 4. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This is kind of an amazing verse. He says, your life has an amazing calling. And he says, I want you to live a life worthy of what you have been called to. You have been called to live a life for this purpose. And I want you to do this. Live a life that is worthy of what I've called you to do. And then after this, he starts to explain the standard of this calling. He goes into detail. Okay, what might that look like in relationship? What might that look like in relationship? In verse 2 in chapter 4, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Okay, someone does something. Stealing your car is probably a drastic example, but there are things that happen in relationships. Sometimes we have hopes, we have expectations, and I'll give an example from my life. I had been married for just my second anniversary, and I had forgotten my second anniversary. And my wife, now I'll tell you a story about Now, my wife isn't here. She's at her mom's, so I can tell this story. So it's my second anniversary. Now, my wife has kind of gotten the idea that I have forgotten our second anniversary. Now, I'm at work. We were doing a project. I was working for the construction company at ComEd. And I'm on the phone. I go, hey, honey, I'll be home at this time. We're going to go out to lunch. Da, 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 da. She says, oh, okay, thank you. By the way, happy anniversary. And I'm on the other end of the phone and I go, yes, yes, happy anniversary. And I hang up the phone and I go, I'm in trouble, Bob. Bob, I was working with Bob, and I go, I need to leave work early because I need to take care of this. And so we go out to lunch with one of the ComEd representatives. So we're talking over lunch. I have got to do something. I forgot, totally slipped my mind. And so I'm talking, we're talking at lunch. Now, the ComEd guy thinks this is just hilarious. He says, you forgot your second wedding anniversary? And I go, it's not like you've been number two. And I go, yeah, I did. And so he tells the waitress, because he thinks it's so funny. He's paying the bill. He goes, I'll get the check today. He goes, do you believe this guy forgot his second wedding anniversary? I went up to pay the bill. So I'll take the bill. So I go up to pay the bill. I go to the cashier. The cashier looks at me and goes to the other waitress, is this the guy? Yeah, that's the guy. My wife had to decide. It was a mistake. Is she going to hold that against me? Is she going to bear with one another in our faults and our distraction? Are we going to work together and do that? Now, and I'm not going to go further into that one, but she had hopes that I cared about a relationship and I thought about it enough to remember that. And We're still married, so that's good. So, in relationship, people will make mistakes. Sometimes they're not even accidental. Sometimes they're intentional, and that can be very hurtful. That can be very hurtful. We have to decide, what are we going to do? So be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That is God's standard for the church, that we are committed to sort things out, to have good relationship and good community as we learn together. Here's a verse I think about. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. I think about that. Have I made every effort? I don't think about it all the time, but there are times people grow distant, and have I made an effort to patch this up, to patch this relationship up? If I'm aware of something, have I done something to try to have a good relationship? You can't make someone want to reconcile with you, but as much as it's up to me, as much as it's up to you, have you made an effort to do that, that there's nothing between you? Nothing between you. So, now why are we called to this patient, consistent effort? And here's, actually, the Paul goes into this, in this standard for the church. He's writing this to the church in Ephesus, but these principles apply to everyone. This is the reason. This is the reason we do this, this exacting standard. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. I'm sorry. Just as you were called, yeah, to one hope when you were called. We were called to this one hope to be unified with God. Christians are supposed to be unified in the hope of God together. So we're not supposed to let divisions and isolations and walls grow up between us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're all baptized into His Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and all. He's saying the one of the reasons that we are called to go extreme, to go to great effort to have good relationships and to reconcile with each other is because we are all one. Now, it doesn't always feel like we're all one right now, because we're sorting things out. We're maturing. God is weeding things out in our lives. I was at my mother-in-law's. I just came back. Kelly and I came back yesterday, and usually I'll offer to do some stuff. And a couple years ago, I fixed a leak in her basement, and she's got another leak. And she says, "It was the last day." I says, "I didn't get to that. We were just kind of relaxing." And so I look at it and crack in the foundation. I says, "Well, I'll go down to the hardware store, and it's out in the country." And I go, "I got to get some stuff. Leak fixing stuff. I got to get some of that." So I'm driving to the store, and I'm in my little minivan, you know, and there's this guy in this big truck, big white truck, who's like, gets right behind me in the country, and I don't know where I'm going, so I'm driving slower, and he's like in a big hurry, and he's right on my tail, just right there. And you know how when you look in the rearview mirror, that's like real intimidating, going, what is this guy? It's like, I feel like he's going to run me over. And I was like, who's this guy? Just get off my tail, you know, what's your deal, you know? Well, it turns out he's going to the hardware store too, and so he gets out of the truck, and I say hello, and we go in the store. Now, this is small town America. Everybody knows everybody, you know. And so he says, "Well, I'm Pat's son-in-law. I'm fixing her basement, you know." And "Oh, really? Yeah." So we talk about that, and I talk to the guy who, and I actually got to share with him in the parking lot. I talked about how. The politicians in our country really have no answers. They're really dealing with little problems. Dealing with little problems and really being little, really petty about staying in power. What we need is to be forgiven and to be forbearing with one another. That's going to take a heart change, which only God can do. And I ended up talking with the guys in the hardware store. It was an enjoyable conversation, but before I entered into conversation, he was that guy in the white truck who I wanted off my butt. Get away from my, what are you harassing me for? But he was actually a very nice, man. But until I talked with him, I thought of him as the person who was annoying me. And I had a great opportunity to share with them. And after a while, it's funny how, you know, you think they really enjoy talking to each other. I said, well, boys, it's been good talking to you, but I got to get back to work because my mother-in-law is a slave driver. I got to go. They all thought that was funny. So went back to work. But while I kept him at a distance, the guy in the truck, I was able to treat him like the guy who was annoying me. And as I talk to them, I go, wow, you know, he needs to know the Lord too. And he was confused about works versus grace, which a lot of people are. They kind of think of them as the same. I need to work my way to heaven. And I go, no, I don't think so. How are people going to find out if we don't take the time to talk with them? The best chance is that they meet someone who takes the time to enter into a relationship with them. So, what about conflict? If we're going to be thankful, what about conflict? We get into conflict, what do we do in handling real struggles when we're learning to work together? Now, the church in Corinth, Paul addressed this. The church in Corinth had lots of problems, lots of different agendas. Actually, it's kind of amazing, some of the, not amazing, a bit sad, a bit concerning when you read the things that were happening in the church in Corinth. And Paul's going, we need to address these things, and he lays a principle out right at the beginning, right in chapter 1. He appeals to them. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you. I read this and I go, wow, is that a picture of the church today? There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. What a high standard. Perfectly united. Now, we know that's very hard to do perfectly, but if the church should not be like the world, we should be more unified because we have a common purpose of representing God and living our life here. It should be different. You know, one of my daughter's favorite movies is a movie called Megamind, which is kind of old now. But there's a phrase in there where, well, not a phrase. There's a conflict between the two characters, between Megamind and his evil minion. Is that his name? I think his name is Minion. They were kind of a play on words, and they have a fight. And they have a fight, and they separate, and Megamind is trying to make up. He's trying to make up and patch the relationship up, and he goes back to him, and he's looking for him, and he says, you were right, I was less right. That's not that humble, isn't it? You were right, I was kind of right. We need to acknowledge the things we need to grow in, when we could have done better, and when we disappointed someone, the things we need to be willing to do that, willing to humble ourselves. So one of the aspects of being willing to do that and growing in that, I think, that is very hard to do. A lot of things in Christianity are easy to say, but very hard to do, is to see things from God's perspective, that he is working things together. The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but to see that God is bringing a kingdom that we don't see. He's bringing things together that is distant. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. It's hard to be thankful if you don't realize that you're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It'll be part of something that'll happen in your life, that you have an inheritance from God that will not be shaken. It cannot be disturbed by the occurrences in the world. It can be very upsetting if all of your hope is here, that this is going to work out the way you want today. But if part of your hope, if more of you hope as you're mature, is in a kingdom that's coming, the circumstances of there can be hardship today, but if your hope is in the future, we will benefit from that. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You know, when I was working for that construction company, I hired right out of school with this construction company, and I didn't know much about it. I interviewed with them, and they hired me, and I didn't know much. You know, when you first hire on, you don't know much about an organization, but it turns out that this company had a particular profit model, which was very generous if you stayed long enough, improved, and worked your way into management, as they actually shared the profits with the managers. It wasn't just a salary. And there were people at the top end of the company who were making a lot of money, really making a lot of money. But the president really decided that compensation level, so it was pretty variable depending on where you were and how high you worked your way up. And there were people who were making more money than I was. And I got really, I was like, and I was doing really well at the company, but there were people who were doing better than I was. And I got really upset because he was keeping me from making as much money as the other guys. And at that time, you know, I was making more money than a lot of other people I knew, but I was upset because there were other people doing better than I had, and I thought I was working very hard. And I did not, with him, I did not have a perspective that God was in control and that God had a purpose for that. God had a purpose for me not to be at the top of the food chain. And this is just my opinion. I don't know for sure. But I think if I had risen up higher, it might be possible that I would be associating with those guys making lots of money, and I maybe never would have become a pastor. I would have stayed there, and I would have learned a lot about making money and running businesses, but maybe I would have kept going down that path. Maybe that was God's purpose. But at the time, I was angry at Tom. I was upset with Tom because he was the man who was keeping me down. He was not giving me what I thought I deserved. And I had more than I needed. I didn't have this perspective that God has a kingdom and has a plan that's bigger than what I see and what I understand today. God has you where you are, in a place where you are, with the friends you have, with your family, with your relatives, with your neighbors, in a particular place to engage with them. Interestingly, Tom, I like to share my faith with people, but because I was angry with Tom, he actually got sick and passed away suddenly. He had a bad liver, and I never had a chance because my bridge was up with him. And I regret that. I go, wow, I regret that I never had a chance to share with him, really because of my attitude. I regret that. So balance in life. Can you have a balance? Are we always supposed to be just forgiving and permissive and just let everyone do whatever they want? How does that work? Is it okay to ask people to change if they're doing something that's insensitive or annoying or sinful? Well, you know, actually, it is okay. It is okay to ask people if it's a good standard, and God's, we're actually called to do that, to ask everyone to grow up and to represent God well and to mature together. It's good for you and it's good for them. It's okay to ask people to change, to appeal to them. And it's actually healthy, because if it's something that is in your relationship, and this has happened in my family a little bit, not a little bit, it's happened with some relatives where something happened and no one addressed it, and now no one talks to each other anymore. It makes me very sad. We just don't, and years go by, and no one, I go, wow, that is so sad. But if the person responds, you have a chance to work things out together, we need to be patient, because we're all growing, we're all struggling, We're all working through things and we're all learning together. So we can't be too stringent. We need to offer grace like God offers grace with us. You don't mature in an instant. You don't mature in a minute. It takes time. It takes time. You may find in your relationship that God may call you to forgive someone. But it's hard to do. It's hard to let that go. Something that really bothers you. Well, you may need to talk with them, but if you can't forgive the other person, it may be something you need to pray about. Our transformational prayer ministry is actually very helpful, and there's other methods, but sometimes even talking through things with someone you trust, or a pastor, or can help you sort out what really bothers you. I'm kind of a verbal person. Sometimes I don't know what's bothering me until I have someone I can talk things through with. One of the benefits of the church is to be in community. We really need community to be together, to work together, to see perspectives and how they work. So here we are. We're trying to build these bridges into the community. Now bridges are permanent. This is called a suspension bridge. It's called that because these cables carry the weight of the roadway so people can go across anytime they want. That's what we're doing to people around us. We're trying to have, as much as we can, the bridges open in relationship, that as much as it's up to us, that we're offering this. So I want to offer a little bit about difference between the world's way of doing things and God's way. If we're going to recognize, and I know I've done this, is because I live in the world and I work with people, and sometimes I've used man's philosophy. So what is man's way of doing things? In man's way, we must control things. Now, we try to control things. We try to make them come out. We try to have a good plan. But sometimes things don't work out the way we want. We can be very upset when things go poorly. We don't intend for things to go poorly. I think, in general, in relationship, sometimes things are going to happen, but in God's plan and God's methodology, we try to influence people. You can't make anyone do anything. We try to influence them, right? We try to have an influence and be a good example, but we trust the results to God. If it doesn't work out, we have to trust that God has a plan that's bigger than what I understand, and that he will use it for good. And that's based on this promise in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of all of those who love him. In my life, in your life, God is going to use the community and use good and hardship to grow us and others that were more effective and more useful for him. Even if it doesn't make sense today, one day it will. One day it will. So what can you do? What can you do? What can we do? I think one big item that I struggle with sometimes, because I want to see how things, I have a controlling aspect to my personality, and I want to know how it's going to work, and I sometimes think that my way is the way that's the best way, but I have to recognize that God has a plan that's bigger than what I'm thinking. And even if it doesn't make sense to me today, I'm going to do what I think is right, but God has a plan that is much more strategic than what I can put together, and in relationship, I need to recognize that we're going to work together in that. We need to grow in patience, in being patient with each other. Not just each other, but even in relationship. You know, there's one guy in town who he says, hey, why don't you stop by and film some of this stuff for me through one of these events. He organizes events in town. And I like to. I was at this big event. There's a bunch of people, and I like to tell people I'm there. I says, "Hey, go inside and tell him I'm here," just so they're not surprised if a guy with a drone or whatever there. And And I says, hey, tell him I'm, and they tell him, you know, I'm a friend of his, and I'm here, I'm going to do this. And so they go inside, and they says, hey, your friend is outside. And he tells them, he goes, I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends. Who is it? And he, you know, but we've developed a friendship. And he likes to come over and talk. Now, honest, he talks about some boring stuff. Some little minutia, you know, little tiny, and I'm going, you know what? I don't think he has a lot of friends. I really don't. And but for some reason, he likes to talk with me about some of these things. And I go, you know, this is important to him. This is what's happening in his life. And I need to pay attention for the sake of our relationship to what he's thinking about. There's a reason it's important to him. So I think God's working on that. Growing in patience in my life, in relationship, because it's important. And sometimes I'll ask him about why it's important. Why is that important to you? And so I'm growing in that. And I think we all need to grow in that together. If you find, and I know this happens, you need to forgive others and let things go. My wife had to, and she was very gracious on our anniversary thing. That she said, well, you know, she didn't even, I didn't come home, and, you know, I and she didn't go, how dare you? How dare you do that and forget our second anniversary? We have to work through those things. Sometimes we forget things. And so there are all types of things we need to work through and forgive each other together. And last is, and I think this is a big deal. This is a big standard for the world to commit to work in community. The church is a community of workers together. A lot of people aren't that committed to their church, to a church or to any church. And so they don't have that community that's going to help them when times are hard or help them grow. And if you're disconnected, you won't have that opportunity. You know, one of the things we do probably at least several times a year, we'll knock on doors and hand out invitations. And I've been doing that on and off as a church for over 20 years, as long as we've been a church here. And so, you know, we go do it. I don't get real excited about it, you know, because it's something we normally do, you know. And I know some people find it's intimidating. It doesn't really bother me like it used to. But with the Hispanic group, we've been knocking on doors handing out Awana invitations. I think we're done for the year because it's, you know, cold out and raining and snowing. And one of the people I've gone out with is Maricela, and several weeks in a row. And I forgot, you know, like, you know, when you first go out, like, you're really intimidated. Like, if I knock on this door, someone's going to answer it. And I got to talk to them, and that's like a scary deal. You know, it doesn't really scare me much. Well, you know, you get over your fear, and she gets excited. She got excited about sharing with people. Let's go to another house. I'm going, okay. I forgot what it was like to be excited to share with people. It kind of became this thing we just always do. She's really excited about, hey, let's go do this, you know, let's go. And there were some guys on the corner who'd been drinking. And I kind of wanted to go home anyway. And I don't really talk, people who've been drinking, I don't talk to, try to share my faith too much because it's not that effective. I'll try a little bit, but I kind of, no, let's go share to the drinking people. Several weeks in a row. Oh, they're out again. Let's talk to them again. Okay. She was excited to have the opportunity. But, you know, it was encouraging to see her grow. It encouraged me. And I'm not afraid of it, but I don't have the zeal that she did. It was very encouraging. And she speaks very little English. I speak very little Spanish. We're a strange couple to go out together. So if an English person answers the door, I talk. And if a Spanish person answers the door, she talks, you know, and it's funny because the Spanish people, they all hug and everything, and the English people, we don't hug or anything. But the community was fun to do together. We've learned from each other. The community helps each other, and we grow together. So Anyway, I'll have the music team come back up. So if you can think about the high standard, if there's anything you need to reconcile with people, you're going to see some relatives, to be gracious, to offer what you can. You can't make people be reconciled, but if you can do that and be gracious over this holiday season, it's a standard the world desperately needs. So why don't we pray together? God, thank you for your standard to be gracious and forbearing and to care for one another in friendship and relationship. I thank you for how gracious you are with us. I pray for this holiday season that you help us to do that the way you do. Amen.